Welcome inside Appalachia. I'm Jessica Lilly. When you think of Appalachian music, do you think of this? Because it turns out here in these hills, it's not just fiddles and banjos. Today, we'll talk with people about the hip-hop scene in Appalachia. We'll meet a 10-year-old hip-hop artist in Wheeling, West Virginia, named Alex. I know more words than a dictionary. To get all I know is a local library. And we'll talk to Charleston, West Virginia's B. Root from the hip-hop group Dinosaur Burps, who says music, especially hip-hop to him, has always been about more than being black or white.
Nobody ever really told me I couldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was always encouraged to do it, you know, it's never really, you can't do that because you're white or whatever, but.
And we'll hear from a person who's considered a hip-hop legend at just 33 years old.
You know, everybody wants to get something off their chest about the struggle here.
Exploring hip-hop across Appalachia on this week's episode of Inside Appalachia. Welcome Inside Appalachia, I'm Jessica Lilly. Today's Inside Appalachia is about giving voice to an often underestimated and often overlooked group of folks, the Appalachian hip-hop artist community. Hip-hop might not be the first kind of music you think of when you think about the mountains of Appalachia. We have our share of fiddles and banjos, but a few months ago, my daughter said something like, Mom, I love your show, but why is it always like dueling banjos, you know? And she's right, we're not all fiddles and banjos here in Appalachia. So today, we go on a journey to explore some of the hip-hop communities in Appalachia. We'll start in Beckley, in southern West Virginia, where the Movement Entertainment Group has hosted an awards ceremony for the past 4 years. It's part of the Dub V Fest. What's the Dub V Fest, you ask? Well, let's start with the name Dub. It's short for W, as in West, and the V is short for Virginia. So in hip-hop, street, or maybe even youth slang terms, it's another version of the West Virginia Music Festival. This one mostly celebrates hip-hop, though. So think like a weekend music festival, like Floyd Fest, Cliff Top, or Bonnaroo. Only it's held indoors, usually at a nightclub, and features mostly hip-hop artists from out of state. It started about 7 years ago. Some performers' headliners included Hoobastank, Saliva, and DJ Unk. But it also supports local talent and even hosts an award ceremony for West Virginia artists. The awards include Artist of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Up and Comer of the Year, Best Single, and Best Video. Some past winners of Artist of the Year include Ponce de Leon from Wheeling, West Virginia. And FAMS from Princeton, West Virginia. And last year's Legend Award was Jamie Smith. The Legend Award honors pioneers or folks who have influenced the scene in West Virginia. Back in the early 2000s, Jamie was one of the only artists creating or producing hip-hop in the region. So Jamie had gained regional legendary status for his work behind the turntables, also known as vinyl record players, and the award was meant to recognize his talent. A hip-hop DJ working on turntables isn't like your typical radio disc jockey, but an artist and even part of the show. A turntable DJ will create beats and mixed sounds live. There are programs like Serato that enable a DJ to modify or manipulate the sound of electronic files by moving the record at a certain speed on the player, just as you would a vinyl record. So Jamie had gained regional legendary status for his work behind the turntables, also known as vinyl record players, and the award was meant to recognize his talent. So what's the story behind Jamie's hip-hop DJ producer career? Well, he shared at least part of the story with us. Jamie's music is sometimes a hybrid of traditional Appalachian music with a hip-hop breakbeat. Jamie's father influenced his love for music at a young age.
He is, I would say, 100% responsible for the music side of me. Because when I was young, he not only would put guitars in my hands and stuff, but would take me to, you know, parties at somebody's house or something, and just everybody's around a campfire just playing music, and he taught me how important that was to me. So I definitely thank him for that.
His dad played in a band and would often perform in bars. Jamie taught himself how to play guitar, started a punk band, and had his first gig at age 13 against his mother's wishes. She worried he might end up in the bar scene too. Still, Jamie says music of all sorts, bluegrass, gospel, classic rock, was a regular part of family gatherings. Playing in a circle with some of his family is still part of his life. Here's Jamie playing the banjo with some of his friends and his father on guitar singing the old hymn, "Will the Circle Be Unbroken?" The first hip-hop he fell in love with was in the early to mid-90s era, like the huge album hit Dr. Dre, The Chronic.
And I was feeling all that, like I was vibing. I had The Chronic, you know, as a young, you know, I'm 9 years old or something. And it's funny, my dad gave me a copy of it. My dad is... like I said, he's the looser one, okay? Certainly, if he heard a song that had swearing and stuff in it, whereas my mom would probably cover my ears and turn it off, my old man's like, "Jim, you need to hear this, man. It's so funny." And he had a couple of the songs off The Chronic. He's like, "Man, you gotta listen to this. These guys are giving these other guys up and down the road because they're, like, warring with other rappers and they're talking trash on them." And we just laughed, like, just laughed. It was so great. And, that was more of a parody kind of thing for me. I was so young. Like, the first stuff I was really in love with. It's like this and like that and like this, Anna. It's like that and like this and like that, Anna.
It's like this and like that and like this, Anna. Drake creeped to the mic like a... Jamie and his friends started entertaining themselves in the small town by experimenting with electronic sounds with a hip-hop rhythm.
We were producing it in my mom's living room when I was in high school, making beats on crappy keyboards and using borrowed 4-track tape recorders to produce singles and albums and stuff. And we were emulating in a lot of ways the guys that we loved. Maybe in the back of your mind you're always like, yeah, this could turn into something, but at the end of the day we're making it to make ourselves happy and to try and share stuff with people, you know, the people in our collective crews. Like, it wasn't, you know, I don't think we really thought it was going to balloon into multi-millionaire status or anything. We were just doing it to be the dopest rapper or the dopest DJ around.
Jamie started putting out mixtapes under the label Ill Kinetics. A mixtape's basically taking mainstream music or produced music and putting your own style, blends, and sounds in a compilation of music. The music was gaining popularity in Southern West Virginia, and Jamie was pretty confident in his work until he heard from this crew out of Morgantown.
And kind of hearing this standard that they had, which was a lot higher than the stuff we were putting out, and I was like, boys, we gotta step it up.
The Morgantown crew was led by Eric Jordan and artist 66240. The crews eventually met up and wound up collaborating on Ill Kinetics mixtape Volume 8. 66240. Jamie usually worked with one of his childhood friends, Beckley native rapper that went by the name Nauseous, because, as he said, his lyrics made you sick, as in you'd be sick with jealousy because his raps were so dope. Man that walks the face of the earth that can't speak and hear no, even he don't see in front of his eyes. Then, Jamie was robbed. Someone broke into his house and stole all of his production equipment, including beat machines, samplers, a keyboard, everything but the turntables and records.
Leave the turntables and all the records, because who's going to haul that heavy crap out, right? So for like a year, 2 years, I didn't even have recording gear. I just had the turntables and the records, and that's really where the monster that became DJ JLS was born, was out of this necessity, you know, of not having the stuff that I wanted to be doing, you know, but I've got this other stuff, and I'm like, well, I'm going to create however I got to do it. This will continue. And so that wound up being, I believe, one of the more profitable music ventures I ever did was DJing, which happened completely out of accident.
Jamie moved away to California with Nauseous and continued to work on music projects. He says California introduced him to a lot of musicians, producers, and rappers, and some of them produced what he considered good material, but a lot of them didn't. He says that there just weren't as many standouts there as there are in this place he calls home, West Virginia.
But here I think it's just condensed, raw talent, and everybody has the same, you know, everybody wants to get something off their chest about the struggle here, because it is a struggle. It's certainly not easy. And, you know, I think we're blessed to have the artist community that we have here. Not just in, you know, in Beckley, of course, in southern West Virginia, but West Virginia as a whole. We have a very robust artist community, and I'm proud to be a member and a patron and a fan of it, and, you know, I'm going to do my best to help any way I can.
He doesn't work much as a DJ anymore. Every now and then, he'll pull out the decks. He's still producing music, though, as part of his company Kid in the background. But now, instead of making music with a crappy keyboard, he works in a professional studio. It's not all hip-hop these days. Here's one of the latest recordings he's produced of musician by night, beer distributor by day, Matt Mullins. Finding hip-hop on your local radio station around here is pretty rare. But while there might not be a lot of hip-hop stations in Appalachia, one station in eastern Kentucky, WMMT, has been playing hip-hop music for more than 12 years on a show called Hip-Hop from the Hilltops. It's changed a few times over the years, but the biggest change came after radio DJs began getting messages from family members reaching out to talk to people who were incarcerated at a maximum security prison, Red Onion. They called from all over the country, and they heard about the show because it was so popular with the inmates inside the prison. So WMMT decided to start playing those messages in the second hour of the show and call it Calls from Home. Here's a promo.
What up, this is Jasiri X. And you are listening to Hip Hop from the Hilltop. And for my brothers that are locked down, you are the new leaders in our community. So study, pray, and take your rightful position when you come home. Peace, one hood.
Hip Hop from the Hilltops plays every Monday evening on WMMT Radio in Kentucky. The show's been popular across Appalachia, and it's one of the only community radio shows in our region that plays hip hop music. Of course, that's not to say there isn't a demand. When we first told our Twitter followers we were working on an episode about hip-hop, we were overwhelmed with the response. It was great to hear from so many followers, and we wish we could play something from every artist you suggested. But here's one song by an artist that many of our listeners recommended.
It's that West Virginia water, make us go harder. What you know, what you know. It's that West Virginia water, make us go harder.
2 years ago, West Virginians were in the news during the 2014 chemical spill, when MCHM leaked into the Elk River, leaving 300,000 residents temporarily without water. Right after the crisis, you might remember hearing this song by a West Virginia rapper named Beattie, who's with the production group Timeless. I found the song moving, so I was glad to reach out and find out why he wrote it. He told me that he was inspired by his struggles during the water crisis, and get this, the Bugs Bunny cartoon movie Space Jam. You might remember, in the movie, the team was given what they were told was a special drink that would make them play ball better. They believed it and ended up doing better on the court. But come to find out, it was just ordinary water. But it was their faith and belief in themselves that got them through. Beattie says that after the chemical spill, he saw how strong people in West Virginia really could be.
I asked for people to drop off bottled waters, and I mean, everybody was doing it. You know, that's how much support people was when we was all experiencing something together, and that's why I preach that unity, man. Just together we could all, you know, come together and push it. And like, if I wanted everybody to share this song, buy the song, man, we could have made it all over the whole world. But it was just that West Virginia water. I was taking bottled water baths. I was a server at the time at Buffalo Wild Wings. I was out of a job until eventually they let us serve with bottled waters, and you know, it just affected every part of my life. I had also seen something, I think, about The Daily Show or something, and they was making fun of West Virginia as a whole. Like, right now, everybody's in, you know, they're all in, you know, crisis mode, and they feel sorry for Flint and everything that's happened in Flint, Michigan. And I'm like, this, we was dealing with something similar here, and at that time, it was just a big joke. I don't care. It's like when you're out of West Virginia, you kind of see the stereotypes, like, oh, your sister, you marry your sister, or you do this. And I just wanted to, I got fed up with it. So that's what mainly motivated the song.
Tell me what you know about bottled water baths. Better shower fast to hit the gas to the stove to get some more. What you know, what you know? Open up that door. Let my people go. Let my people grow. They don't know about Duffy. What they should see, they don't show. There they go. If they knew, think they know. On the news, voting most miserable. Should have been most abused. But excuse if we confuse. It's time I make that move for my state. I wear the cape. Come and walk in my shoes.
Beattie did end up leaving West Virginia since he wrote that song. He relocated to Atlanta to pursue a better life. He says he still works on music but is making money as a car salesman while he works on getting his real estate license. I asked him why he moved and whether he was happy making hip-hop in West Virginia. He says the hip-hop community in his home state still has a lot of work to do.
First off, it's a lot of talent. You know, it's a whole lot of talent. I myself used to be in a group. You know, I used to be in you know, just with my friends and everything growing up. But and now it's like, you know, they're still groups and there's still a lot, but it's a whole lot more going on in West Virginia. Like I see on the news, like what West Virginia or Huntington, West Virginia got a most miserable city of last year. You know, I don't know how they got that, but Charleston was number two. And I'm like, this is the top 10 cities in America. And my main fan base is coming between these two most miserable cities. So for me, it's just, how do I talk to these people? How do I get them, you know, motivated? How do you motivate people in the most miserable city? I definitely want to say to just shout out to everybody rapping. And if we could just join and get unity into this rap game and do songs with each other, you do shows with each other, bring your 10, I bring my 10, he can bring his 10 fans, you know, before we know it, we performing in front of 30 people. That's good footage. And you see these major artists linking up and unionizing and everything, but you know, just with a small town, everybody wants to be that man on top, and it's like they can't support the next man because they will feel like it's killing their chances of success, you know, by just supporting somebody that's been in the game. So, you know, when I just and that's what mainly drove me to Atlanta, just not getting that respect. It's just everything about the hip hop scene right now is king of the hill. And like I said, everybody wants to be the king. Everybody's a courtier, you know, but there is no throne. So it's like,
why is there no throne?
There's no throne because, there's no clubs to go to on Friday nights that's going to play what you want to hear. They're not going to have the artists you like to hear performing there because of the crowd that may come. How can you stay motivated in a state where they're not even allowing hip-hop music played in restaurants off the jukebox, but country, rock, pop? I mean, I'm like, if you listen to the words that they're saying is worse than what the rappers be saying sometimes in a stereotypical state, like in a city like Charleston. Like, it's just like, you beating a dead horse, you know, you yelling too loud and nobody's hearing you.
So you said the stereotypes that come with it. Do you think it's a race thing?
Well, now in terms of it, like I said, well, 86% of people in West Virginia like had Trump support, and that was just a preliminary polls and all that. And I mean, and then you go to these Trump rallies and you see how they act towards it. So I can say race is, and it's not really race has an issue. It's you know, their culture has, it's a culture thing, you know. Some big country town, you know, country state, you know, like they like that country, they like their you know, pop, and they like their, but when it comes to hip hop, the people who own the clubs and own the all the stuff that you really need, they don't like that because they know the stereotypes. These people come in here, fight, shoot, this, that, and all that, like that's, it's just all based all off stereotypes, you know. So I will say it is kind of, It does have something to do with race, but it really doesn't, because white, black, yellow, brown, whatever, they all like hip hop, you know, and when they come together, it's good, but nobody wants to be, say, I'm responsible for this.
And even though he's moved away from Appalachia, Beattie says a lot of the music he writes is about growing up in West Virginia and rising above the stereotypes and the challenges that he faced.
within my music, the message I'm really trying to send is just that, you know, I came from I just came from such a miserable place, but timeless is all about staying positive forever. You know, that's why it's a plus sign and an infinity sign together. And the mascot is the phoenix.
That was Beatty, who has performed on his indie label Timeless. Beatty wrote a song back in 2014 about the West Virginia water crisis. We spook Jason, we just jump in that water, overcome what we face in a simple attack accomplished, no opportunities wasted, amazing that my feet on the ground. Still to come, we're going to hear from West Virginia artist B. Rude, who says he's sticking around to rap about stuff that's real and stuff that's just plain surreal.
Sometimes I say big words and talk about space travel and aliens and stuff.
That and much more in just a minute here on Inside Appalachia.
Support for Inside Appalachia is provided by Concord University in Athens, West Virginia. With career-focused liberal arts education in more than 80 degrees and programs to pursue various career options, not just a single job. More at concord.edu.
Today we're talking about hip-hop in Appalachia, and it's tough to talk about the scene in West Virginia without hearing about the Jordan family. The Jordans have been lifting up and celebrating spoken word art, part of the foundations of hip-hop, for generations. The legacy of the Jordan family goes way back. The late Norman Jordan was a playwright and poet who ran the West Virginia African American Arts and Heritage Academy. Here is Norman back in 2014 reciting a poem that he wrote called Feeding the Lions, as he stands on a gravel road surrounded by lush greenery.
They come into our neighborhood with the sun. An army of social workers carrying briefcases filled with lies and stupid grins, passing out relief checks and food stamps, hustling from one apartment to another so they can fill their quota and get back out before dark.
That poem is from one of Norman Jordan's books called Destination Ashes. Norman wrote that poem back in 1966, 2 years after Lyndon B. Johnson declared the war on poverty. Today, his sons Eric and Lionel Jordan are carrying on their father's legacy. The family still works to mentor youth with an art summer camp, and the brothers run a hip-hop label called Sound Vision. Eric Jordan says he doesn't want them to have to rely on selling drugs to make it.
Let's be straight up to it. Most of these crews are started to become entrepreneurs in their community, if you know what I mean. You know, that's what really the crews are started for. And definitely you're going to find some talent in there somewhere, too, you know, if they decide to do that. But some, it's about, you know, getting up, getting that dough, hitting the block, distributing whatever you're distributing. I'm never, ever going to be an advocate for selling drugs. But to say you want to get out of a situation so bad that you're willing to risk your life, you're willing to risk your freedom, how much more revolutionary do you get than that?
A lot of the big mainstream hip-hop artists rap about buying, selling, and using drugs. But Eric Jordan says he'd rather talk about something other than drug culture. He says his label's mission is to represent the poor and give them a voice. Charlie Klein has more about the influence of the Jordan family on the Appalachian hip-hop scene.
The number of your last incoming call was 304.
Bet y'all won't skip this state no more.
West Virginia native Eric Jordan and his family have been one of the most powerful forces in creating hip-hop in the state. Eric has a special ability to mentor, develop, and produce Appalachian artists.
When breaking started really getting big in hip-hop, I was really into that.
As a young child, Eric Jordan always loved hip-hop culture and music. But he learned you could make money through the art when he was at Morgantown High School.
I was at Morgantown High. Purple Rain was playing at the Warner.
The Warner is a historical theater in Morgantown.
Me and my friends didn't have any money to get in. So we went and got a piece of cardboard. We danced for an hour. Man, we got like $50. It was enough to get everybody in. Popcorn, candy, Purple Rain. And from there on, music and art for me became business.
Sound Vision. Stand out without trying, kind of. In 1999, he and his brother Lionel Jordan, also known as 66240, started an indie hip-hop label called Sound Vision. They did most of the production work themselves. They found out that they had a talent for developing artists. and they started a project called 304 Recons, where they searched all over West Virginia for talent to mentor.
When we started Sound Vision in 1999, the mission statement was, let's give these kids something to be proud of for themselves. And one thing, they'll know, we all in it together. It ain't no racial line here. I didn't see black and white. I saw poor. And that's where we attacked it with 304 Recons. We representing the trailer parks. We representing low poverty. And if you identify that, really, that's not a black thing. That's a poor thing. That's lack of having. That's survivalist. And you know, that's interracial.
Yeah, drop it on West Virginia, baby. And then deal with it. I'm too real with it. The big unit, grab a hard ball and hit the field with it. Or better use what God gave you.
Eric is no stranger to the arts. His father, the late Norman Jordan, is one of the most published Appalachian poets. He even won an award from the United Nations. His father also started a youth art camp 30 years ago. It was known as the African American Arts and Heritage Academy.
My father was a mentor to me. I've been a mentor to artists. So honestly, we are in the talent development business. You know, we have been in that business for a long time. I've been developing acts. My father developed acts.
Eric says the camp is for all children, ages 18 to 13.
We concentrate on African arts to teach, but we want students of all races to be involved. The art camp is a week where kids can come to the camp, pick a discipline, theater, dance, music, creative writing, graphic arts, hip-hop, depending on which instructors are available.
To honor Norman's memory and legacy, the camp was renamed the Norman Jordan African American Arts and Heritage Academy. Kids pay an entry fee, but he tries to keep the fees low. Recently, the camp has been struggling financially, so the hip-hop community from all over the state came together to host a fundraiser at a venue in Morgantown called 123 Pleasant Street.
You know what I'm saying? Welcome home!
Yo!
My dude, 6674, Chris Allen in the building.
This is a benefit, man, from one of the greatest men I've ever known in my life, Mr. Norman Jordan, man. This is a benefit for a good cause, the African-American Heritage Camp.
This is Ace Beans. He is one of the hip-hop artists performing during the benefit tonight at 123 Pleasant Street in Morgantown.
I'll come anyway from anything Monster Lung has, but a good cause like this, without DJ Monster Lung, I don't know if there would be a Morgantown hip-hop scene like this. So,
agreed.
You know, all shout-outs, all love and praise to DJ Monster Lung. DJ Monster Lung put a culture to it here, man. So get that man a plaque in front of 123 Pleasant Street, man. He deserves it.
The artist Monster Lung he is referring to is Eric Jordan, who is emceeing the event tonight.
Just a reminder, tonight it's all about the Norman Jordan African-American Arts and Heritage. It's our fundraiser tonight. All the proceeds, all the money tonight is going to the art camp. If you don't know about the art camp, what it's about, kids come to the university, they stay there for the whole week, they pick a discipline to be a part. You can do theater, music, vocal. We got a hip-hop class.
Eric says the academy is more than just a camp. It's an opportunity to mentor young people who might come from a rough background.
It's also creating artist accountability. That's what the camp's about. Kids that's coming out of these communities and stuff don't have confidence. They don't have experience. The arts does that.
Eric has toured all over the American hip-hop scene, learning lessons along the way. He enjoys sharing what he's learned in the studio, but especially in the camp. It's a way to give back and invest in the future of his community.
It's bigger than anything I've ever been a part of, because just being part of kids who have artistic aspirations, having an outlet to do that in, accountability among artists, you have to have that. You know, if you have any kind of success, you have to take on the accountability that comes with that success. Some people say, I don't want to be a role model. But that situation and what's going on in our communities is bigger than your damn song. You know what I'm saying? It's bigger than any damn radio play you're going to get. Our message is always going to be about how is we as a community can better.
And for Inside Appalachia, I'm Charlie Klein.
Earlier in the show, we heard about the Dub V Fest and award ceremony put on by The Movement Entertainment for the past 4 years. Now we're going to the Northern Panhandle, where the hip-hop scene is growing. In fact, there's a hip-hop movement there organizers are calling the movement. It's all about supporting hip-hop artists, and one of their latest efforts to unite and celebrate the regional scene is the first Ohio Valley Hip-Hop Awards. Glynis Board discovered a diverse pool of contributing artists who are working hard to be heard.
Getting them gone while you're flicking your charm. I'm sick with the arm. My left one.
In preparation for the Ohio Valley Hip Hop Awards, artists came together to take turns demonstrating their rapping skills.
Nuts. Second verse, second line. Can we jump in? Let's listen. You got to come through there.
Yeah.
Man, that ends.
Don't need glasses to see what's.
When artists take turns showing off their rapping skills like this, it's called a cipher. This cipher included lots of artists nominated for various awards. Each verse was recorded and used to promote the award ceremony through social media channels.
Better yet, I can tell you a story to take to school with. Excuse me, I'm new at this. Mob Deep and them was my influences. I came this close to ruining this damn blue.
My name's Shane, S-H-A-N-N-E. My last name, real name, government, is B-O-T-I-Z-A-N. But I go by Shane Gain, G-A-I-N.
Shane is an Ohio Valley hip-hop artist who grew up here in the northern panhandle of West Virginia. He says he raps honestly about his life and that it hasn't been a charmed life. He remembers running through the streets of South Wheeling with a group of dozens of kids.
It was actually horrible, and you find needles on the ground and see people sleeping in the alley and stuff, but if we all stuck together, we were good to go. We were good.
He says he started listening to rap music at the impressionable ages of 12 and 13.
Kind of like screwed my life up listening to it, but now I'm older. I feel like I'm old. I'm almost 30, and I am 30. I lied, but it's just going by quick. I got a 12-year-old daughter, and it's just going by super duper quick. So I need to grab onto something now.
So when you meet Shane, you meet this enthusiastic, hopeful, and desperately positive person. He's a man who clearly cares a lot about his family and friends. But Shane has had run-ins with the law. He raps about societal pressures and a life surrounded by drugs because he says that's the world he was born into. His musical ambition is to give listeners goosebumps with his lyrical storytelling style.
Bruce Banner, a soft. I sold anything that had a smell, got you numb and cooked the raw. What? Do I look like a cook to y'all? Skip three steps and then I look to y'all to help me.
Listen. And at the Cypher recording session in Wheeling, Shane was rapping next to a young man named Alex Raymer. A very young man.
I may be new to the rapping game, but my lyrics are clean and yours are lame. I'm 10, I'm fresh, I'm young, I'm smart, I'm a better composer than old Mozart.
A barrel of kids, Reese's and lunch, they all gone, what you punch? Like Eminem, I'm light and thin, but my name's Alex and I always win. I know more words than a dictionary, to get on over to the local library.
Tell me when you got interested in it.
Well, it just sparked my interest for a little bit. I can't exactly recall how I got started in this.
He did grow up listening to hip-hop music.
That's Slick's mom, Claudia. Slick is on the autism spectrum, and she says when he took to writing and producing verses and wanted to be involved in the Ohio Valley Hip-Hop Awards, she wanted to do everything she could to support his passion.
I mean, he spends a lot of time on his computer doing it. So the computer, the technical aspect of it, you know, and he loves writing. So it's all good skills for a kid to have anyway.
Oh, wait. Ask me for, like, any advice that I could say or something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Speak clearly when you rap. Just go at the medium pace.
And so is this definitely something that you want to do? You want to be a rapper when you grow up?
Maybe. I could be a cartoonist. I don't know. I'm shifting around with my interests. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. Probably a brain surgeon or something.
Go ahead and try. You can't keep up. Try in a corner, you little buttercup. I'll be famous by AHAT. Signed on the graphs in a magazine. Head over the award. It's no contest. Everyone knows I'm the best.
Slick was definitely the youngest in the studio that evening. There were also a couple of high school kids participating.
My name's Ian. I go by IANI.A.N. I'm 14 right now. I started like messing around with it when I was 10. Started taking it more seriously after my 6th grade talent show. And, you know, I've been putting out music ever since.
And so where do you record and how do you make that happen?
I record in my basement. either on my iPhone or just anything, for real.
I'm Billy O'Connell. I'm Ian's mom.
What do you think about all of this?
I love it. I think it's a great creative outlet for these kids. So, yeah, if this is his life's work, then God willing.
Are you into hip-hop music?
Absolutely. Even as Ian was little, I was 9 months pregnant with him and went to see Mary J. Blige in Pittsburgh, and me and my sister were laughing that maybe we inspired this early on.
Check. Wanna know some info? Yes, I do spit flows. Rip shows and get dough. You already know that it's IAN, the one who be ripping the booth up. No lies in his rhyme. Yes, I'm the truth, bro. The rapper of the generation. No hesitation. Just paper chasing, trying to reach a destination. Going big, but I ain't notorious. Every time I write a line, it is so glorious. Swift like George Foreman's fist. Oh, you want some more of this? Tell the title to get over here like I'm a scorpion. Mortal Kombat. Falls of fatality, flow sick and an allergy, so this ain't challenging. This is my shine, don't get it to my zone. I'm just trying to make a name for my area code. 304, that's for sure, but I'm sure you know. And I didn't mention that I'm only 14 years old.
Even the guys considered veterans in the room were pretty young. Claudel Whetstone is one of the sound engineers who recorded and mixed the Cyphers. He's 34 and remembers building this studio here in East Wheeling in the early 2000s.
This is the studio, Future Entertainment. I mean, you can ask around, you know, everybody who's recorded anything or try to do local music, they've been in this studio.
Whetstone is one of the major movers in what is referred to as the movement in the Ohio Valley. He was also one of the judges for the Hip Hop Awards. He says the best hip hop today can't be found on radio or TV. And the award ceremony is a way to shine light on the talent that's deep underground here.
It's an opportunity to say, hey, this is what we're listening to. This is who we're listening to. This is the type of music we're listening to.
Hello?
About 200 showed up for the award ceremony that was held at the McClure Hotel in downtown Wheeling.
All right, first off, thank you for everybody that came out tonight. I appreciate everybody spending their hard-earned money and coming down to this first annual, we hope, Ohio Valley Hip Hop Awards. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Ron Scott Jr. I do a lot of community stuff in the area.
Anyone and everyone will tell you that Ron Scott Jr. is the driving force behind the awards and the movement in the Ohio Valley.
And I'm also one of these guys that really likes rap music, so I thought, what's the best way to keep this genre and culture in the Valley moving, but to get a system where we could acknowledge, reward, and encourage these artists to keep doing what it is that they do.
Now, I think my biggest motivation is seeing people pursue a passion. Now, I love art and I love academics as well, but the only thing I love more than that is seeing folks do something that they want to do. Like, most of these artists that are getting honored haven't received a dime for doing these things that they love. And they're spending their money and they're never getting recognized. So they're solely doing it because they love it.
More than 19 artists were involved in the awards. One of them was a woman, Kelsey Cromar, known as Kels, hails from Cleveland.
In 2011, I was 18 and crazy, and I came down here and caught a charge, ended up doing 3 years in prison. And while I was in there, I started studying, reading the dictionary in my free time, and I just started studying words, writing poetry. And then when I got out, I decided, you know what, I'm going to take this a step further. And then in 2014, when I got released, I just started recording, and people gave me positive feedback, so I just kept doing positive stuff, you know, kept me out of trouble.
She was nominated for Best New Artist and Best Lyricist.
This I've honestly been changing since way back in the day, since I was running with that Rachel chick. Ain't never had relations, but there might have been temptations, some decent conversations. Too bad she ain't had the patience. Nah, it's whatever though. No, even if I don't take one home, as long as someone in Grind Team takes one home, I'm happy.
Grind Team is a group of hip-hop artists that Kels is a part of. She didn't win in her categories, but one of her teammates did.
It was when I was like 15-16, I started to write after my uncle had passed away. My grandma would always write like poems about him.
This is Josh Pethel. He goes by Poetic Path.
I seen how she used that like art form as a way to express herself and like feelings that she harbored deep down inside. So then God would always write down my problems as well in that form.
He took 3 of the 9 awards, Best New Artist, Best Lyricist, and...
And the winner for Mixtape Album of the Year is... Life, Poetic Path.
I didn't actually take rap fully serious and understand my effect of my words on people until like last year. So it's been a big, big jump because like when I started realizing like people are, you know, paying attention to what I have to say, I was like, all right, well, let me just put, you know, all seriousness into this craft. And now I'm happier than ever and I'm getting awards and all this stuff. So it's a trip.
Check it. Look. My mom had both hips replaced at such a young age. Trying to raise 3 kids with a low budget pay. Food stamps was enough. In school I was devouring lunch. 5 outfits a year, them school vouchers were clutch.
Probably wish you could, they gave us more, but it was more than enough. Could've had it rough, so I'm sending you my love. I grew up biological fatherless, but my step pops made me a man with the common sense. Such astonishment when I view back, watching Rugrats while my Uncle T moved crack. Don't get confused at thinking that he was a bad person. He taught me money's everything, but at the same time, it's worthless when it comes to...
Here's the reality. The hip-hop scene in the Ohio Valley is very much alive. It's booming. It just needs a bigger push from the area.
This is Charmaine Davis. She lives across the river in Ohio and was among the members of the public who voted for Poetic Path in this year's Hip Hop Awards.
Hip hop sometimes gets a bad rap. And then, you know, I'm sorry, but sometimes I get a bad rap because people don't see it for the true art form that it is.
Davis is also a hip hop artist and has performed throughout the area. Her definition of the art extends beyond carefully crafted verses set to beats, beyond freestyle ciphers, beyond music videos. This is Charmaine performing improv spoken word poetry recently at the Towngate Theater in Wheeling.
And your kingdom is your whole living destination. I mean, seriously, you may take it light. You can have a man at home, and I'm not talking out of spite because I have a great son's father. But I'm still a single mom, so when I get home, I don't have no reason to cry and sob because I got one king to worry about. He about this big, 11 years old, and he not even a kid. So when I look back around and I see myself grow, and I say on his queen's back, I'ma watch his kingdom grow because it ain't nothing but me. I'm a boss in every right, whether I'm doing hair or writing tracks all night. You gotta understand something, a queen doesn't mind. A queen gonna do her thing. And the queen gonna shine and everything around her gonna grow. That's how you know when you see a queen. Not a peasant, not a lame, not a man on his schemes, but a queen with dreams, and she's alive and well. So know you see a queen, respect her, and her throne as well.
What this area would need is the city to push it, the city to accept hip hop for what it is, and be willing to allow a light to this area that it hasn't had yet, so that it can come together for the Josh Pethels and the Kells and the John Nice and just everyone that wants to have that upper step that shouldn't have to leave where they're from to get it from somewhere else.
I can never repay you, Mom. I can only apologize for all of the lies and the stress I put you through. Thanks for never neglecting me and turning your back. I love you. All my life I had to struggle and fight, toe to toe with an addiction, but I came out right, right. Right. Don't worry, people, cause I'ma be alright. Right.
All my life. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Glynis Board in Wheeling.
Now look at my life, right.
You can see photos and hear more lyrics and spoken word from these Ohio Valley artists on our webpage at wvpublic.org. Your Inside Appalachia, I'm Jessica Lilly.
With my head held high, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm all right, I'm all right. Feet planted in a planet with my head held high. You're okay, you're okay, you're all right, you're all right. Feet planted in a planet with your head held high. You're okay, you're okay.
Today on our show, we're finding out what the hip-hop scene is like in Appalachia. And it turns out it's not all about a G-thang here in Appalachia. The video to the song Odney Strangerfield had a pretty unique opening. The video starts with rapper B. Rude sitting on a couch wearing a Burger King hat. He calls himself fat and talks about eating a lot of food. B. Rude gets up from the couch when fellow group member DJ Squeezle comes to the door. The two of them climb into a beat-up Toyota that B. Rude starts with a pair of pliers. Then they drive to a bar where we get a glimpse into one of the group's performances. All the while, we hear lyrics of slang, sexual terms, and junk food. So, there are plenty of artists working the business, preaching about sex, money, violence, and plenty of people talking about repping their hometown. But as reporter Dave Mistich found, some artists are talking about Little Debbie cakes and applesauce, like dinosaur burps.
If you spend any amount of time around the music scene in Charleston, West Virginia, be it at the Empty Glass, the Boulevard Tavern, or the Blue Parrot, you're bound to have come across the hip-hop act Dinosaur Burps. Said welcome to my neck of the woods. You see it's cold country. See me in the kitchen, call me the young old grumpy. He's so funky, chunky, big spoon soup. So break out your butt. Fronted by B. Rude and DJ Squeezle, Dinosaur Burps are cerebral, yet goofy and endearing, with raps that flow so quickly you might miss something deep while being distracted by your own laughter. Growing up in South Charleston, B. Rude first became interested in hip-hop as a kid, finding influence from the tapes and CDs his older brother Mike would have around their home. It didn't take long before his affinity for the genre led him to create raps of his own.
We would steal cassette tapes that had, they were the singles that had, it would have the song, the edited version, and then it would have the instrumental. And we would take, my buddy had a karaoke machine that had two tape decks on it and a microphone, and we would put a blank tape in one side, and then we would put the single tape with the instrumental on the other side and record, and we would, you know, make our own little tapes.
When one conjures media portrayals of hip-hop culture, the Kanawha Valley of West Virginia, or Appalachia, may not seem like a place that translates perfectly to that particular art form. Yet B. Rude argues that perceived cultural divisions and stereotypes of musical styles are just that, perceived.
To me, it was for everybody. It was music, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's not just for them or just for us, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's for everybody. So I don't know, nobody ever really told me I couldn't do it, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was always encouraged to do it, you know? It was never really, you can't do that because you're white or whatever, but right here from West Virginia, do what I want.
Eventually, B. Rude teamed up with Sam Harshbarger, another Charleston area MC known as Mule, to form Rabble Rousers. The group eventually added DJ Squeezle to the mix and quickly gained quite a lot of momentum around the region.
We started off, we would record stuff with our buddy Elno, and we would make little, you know, like, we would make albums where we just throw together a bunch of random songs we had and just name it whatever. And then we actually decided to record a full-length Rabble Rousers album. Recorded that, released it, and Mule passed away in 2009. And after that, me and Squeezle decided to keep making music but change the name. Big Dave got his numbers back. What? Moonlighting as a lumberjack. Big Burly with the plumber's crack. I'm hungry and fat. Give me munchy snacks. Spaced in the head like Dave Letterman's front teeth. Wrapped like a bluntly. And the name Dinosaur Burps actually came from Mule. Me and him were driving around in the car one day and I burped really loud. And he was like, it was like a dinosaur burp. And I was like, it kind of stuck with me and I always wanted to use it for something. So we both agreed it was a good group name, and now we're Dinosaur Burps.
The group's debut full length came in the form of 2012's Mother Nature Wants You Dead. It's heavy on pop culture references and samples by producer and beat guru Ben Cole, known in the group as Krush Dog. As for B. Rude's lyrical subject matter, it mixes in everything from a sharp sense of humor to keen observations about the struggles of life in Appalachia, Everything from unhealthy lifestyles and other issues related to poverty.
You know, I grew up hanging out in the city and in the country. I've seen a lot of stuff. I've seen a lot of the bad stuff. I've seen a lot of the good stuff. My main goal usually whenever I write a rap is to make somebody laugh or be like, oh, I know exactly what he's talking about. Or, you know, like, I don't really try to downplay my state, but I do talk about the darker side, you know, like the underworld, you know, like there's bad stuff that goes on, but there's also a lot of good stuff that goes on too, you know.
Beard says Dinosaur Burps has sometimes been described as conscious rap, a subgenre of hip-hop that focuses on creating awareness and imparting knowledge. But he also admits his inclination to weave in self-deprecating, or self-effacing rather, observations about life around him in Appalachia. There's no question, B-Root is reflecting on what he knows about the place he's from, at least part of the time.
I rap about what I know about. I also rap about stuff I don't know about, too.
Yeah. What would be an example of that?
I don't know. Sometimes I say big words and talk about space travel and aliens and stuff. But
are you saying you don't know anything about that?
Nah, man. No way. Not me.
Born in a black hole under the puncher's pressure, spewed out of the void to give the galaxy that lumpy texture. They have to hose me off once my saucer drops. The bobbing for planets and the try for the cosmic slop. Fourth eye spying on the fifth dimension, left hand
oblivion. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Dave Mistich in Charleston, West Virginia. Symphony, spacecraft convert mass to photonic energy, gallivant around with sentient
beings from elsewhere in hopes to come across some tumultuous events. Dinosaur Burps' sophomore release from 2014 is titled Awesome Stuff We Did When Nobody Was Looking. The group is currently working on material for a third release, although no release date has been set yet. Charleston area hip-hop artists, including Dinosaur Burps, will celebrate the life of their late friend Sam Harshberger, known as Mule. The community will remember him at Mule Fest, Saturday, April 23rd, at the Empty Glass. And until then, you can find music from the Dinosaur Burps and several other Appalachian artists on our website at wvpublic.org. You know, Jay-Z said that he looks for art that connects with him. And my dad taught me that it was important to shop at the store that he knew the owner rather than the larger companies. He knew it was important to invest in your community and people who are investing in the community and help make it turn. Maybe that's why I'm so connected to local artists. The fact that I can see West Virginia natives spitting fire and real talent, yeah, gives me great pride. Because I have dreams. And seeing someone else from this region giving it a shot and creating good stuff gives me hope. And perhaps the hip-hop community and music scene helps to give hope to the amazing people of Appalachia and West Virginia, who live in a state ranked at the bottom of the barrel, but can still rise to the top. As long as we don't live like crabs in a bucket, constantly pulling each other down when they start to do well. We have to support each other, because if we don't, who else will? I tell you, nobody never gave us nothing. The tough time, it made us something different. Stretch the road, new something to see. Every state on the map, a different something to eat. Music in today's show was provided by Dinosaur Burps, Poetic Peth, IAN, Alex Slick Raymer, Shane Gain, Kelsey Kells Cromar, Ill Kinetics, Kid in the Background, DJ Munstalong, Sound Vision Records, and Nappy Roots, a hip-hop group with Kentucky roots. Our producer is Roxy Todd. Our editor is Catherine Winter. Our audio mixer is Xander Alloy. We'd love to hear from you. You can email us at feedback@wvpublic.org. Find us on Twitter at InAppalachia or at Jessica Y. Lilly. You can also address your letters to Inside Appalachia in care of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, 600 Capitol Street, Charleston, West Virginia, 25301. The Inside Appalachia podcast is available on iTunes, Downcast, and at wvpublic.org. I'm Jessica Lilly. Inside Appalachia is a news and public affairs production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting.